We are continuing our journey talking about koinonia, about community. And I've been using three adjectives to describe the kind of community we're aiming for. You better have this in mind at some point. So let's start with our pop quiz right now. What does the H stand for? And the I? And the C? Covenant. All of those, I believe, are critical pieces. Now, there are other pieces that probably could be added, but we can't do koinonia without those three. So I came into this particular sermon thinking I've got to preach about community and a sense of unity and the sense of division that we have in our world today. And so a couple weeks ago, I thought, I know the perfect scripture for this. It's from Mark. It says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You know that one? That kind of fits, right? Turns out the scripture lesson there has nothing to do with community. So as I started to study it, I went, I can't use this scripture. It would be improper use of scripture for me to use that one out of context to tell you this is about community. What the family of Jesus' family had come up to him and said, something's not right about you. I think you're going nuts. So I think you're insane. You are out of yourself is the Greek word. They were, and Jesus' response was, because they were saying, you're possessed. Satan is making you do these things. The devil made you do it. And Jesus says, you can't have both things. I couldn't be Satan and. So it was about him and his relationship with his family, not about how divisions in community can make it hard. Lincoln uses the Bible wrong here, but I understand what Lincoln's point was. But I don't want to be an example of showing you that's the way you use scripture. So, I had to search for something else that says somehow or another we're united and we're different. Turns out I didn't have to do much work because Paul makes it pretty plain in 1 Corinthians that we're all different and we're all one. That beautiful imagery about being what it means to be true body of Christ. We are trying to look at the heart of the meaning of the word community, the defining characteristics, so that we do not settle for a poor imitation of connection. We long to be connected to each other. And sometimes the kind of connections we have with each other are not healthy or intimate or covenant. I believe God designed us to be in community, to be connected to each other. And that's why there is this longing, this unsettledness in our being. I think that's why when we hit a certain age in life, we want to be part of the in-group. It's that longing to be connected. Sometimes that longing gets satisfied by really poor relationships. I don't believe that just any connection will fulfill this longing in us. So sometimes we are somewhat connected and we're still longing for something deeper or richer, something more. I think that some of us, and in particular the younger ones, when we are younger, not the younger ones of us, but when we're younger, we have this tendency to settle rather quickly than to aim for true community and true relationship. As we get older, we get a little more picky and we say, yeah, that's not doing it for me. I'm going to connect here. True community is a little harder than just having a crowd to hang out with on a weekly basis. True community requires vulnerability. And vulnerability makes us feel out of control, and we don't like feeling out of control. Can I get an amen? Sometimes our desire to have control gets in our way of being connected. Write that down. That can be your prayer of confession for the next 6 weeks. sometimes our desire for control gets in our way of being truly connected. Often, we prefer even just the illusion or perception of control to true community. One of the harder truths, one of the things I think that is important for us to wrestle with, struggle with, realize is that we are intended to find unity in the midst of diversity. That just gathering around a small group of folks that agree with everything we think and say doesn't do real community. It becomes a little echo chamber for our opinions. That doesn't connect us to God's family. As a matter of fact, generally, that separates us from the rest of God's family. This may be the understatement of my sermon this morning. It is easy to find our differences these days. It's much harder to find unity. I am a United Methodist, and I live in the United States, and neither one of those feels all that united right now. We have to work a little harder. As we're aware of our differences, we have to work a little harder to find that sense of unity. Oftentimes, the things we consider our differences and get hung up on are the easiest things for us to connect to. It goes back to that sixth grade lesson when we're starting to learn how to write and think, and we say, compare and contrast. I want you to judge how you're different from somebody else. Well, that runs us off on a little exercise of labeling folks and prejudging different groups, and all of a sudden we have compared and contrasted ourselves into separateness. Those kind of things allow us to claim our unique identity quickly, and they give us a sense of value, but I'm telling you, they are sugar. A fast-burning, but not all that healthy and enriching food for us as community. True community requires deeper connection. Not all persons are created the same. I didn't say better or worse. I said not the same. You can agree with me on this? Not all persons are created the same. All right. We've got mutual agreement on something. Look, unity. Not all preachers are created the same. You're allowed to say it. Not all Americans. Not all Latinos, Latinas. Not all nurses. Not all teachers. Not all three-year-olds. Not all Democrats, not all, you get the idea. Not all lawyers are the same. And true, unique differentiation on an individual basis takes time and relationship. We just as soon be a little bit intellectually lazy and lop all that, oh, you're one of those. I'm done getting to know you. That's who you are. That's not community. And it is a sense of judging. Differentiation, true differentiation takes time and energy. Really good teachers figure out in their classroom who needs to be taught in different kinds of ways. And so they differentiate between students so each individual student gets to move forward at a pace that allows them to grow. When I was doing youth ministry, there was a time we'd get all the adults together and we'd say, all right, let's think about our plan for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, because their uniqueness meant we had to treat them differently. We had one who would only try to engage with adults. So always would just find his way to cozy up to an adult in the group. And so our plan of attack was keep pushing him back to the group. Because what he needed as an only child was to have relationships with peers, not with adults. Community takes time and energy. So I want to go back a couple of sermon series back and remind us of some lessons we learned from the anatomy of peace. When we treat persons as persons with hopes and dreams and fears and gifts as real as our own, we can connect to them as real people. But when we see them as objects or obstacles to our plans and our dreams, we are not able to connect to them in community. You see how much work community really is? It's getting to know everybody uniquely, getting to know them deeply enough that you know some of their pains and suffering. When Mary stands up here and says, and we pray for each other, and we bring each other, and we take each other's children or grandchildren to, it takes time and energy to deepen the relationship so that we're treating each other as persons. I think that's our calling. There is a sense that all persons are the same at the same time as I can say all persons are different. If you don't get Richard Rohr's daily devotionals, I'll put a link in the weekly e-news thing so you can connect. The one that was today talked about our oneness with God and our oneness with each other in some sense is found in our suffering. That there's this universalness to suffering. And to a God who had a cross in God's life, that universal suffering deepens our oneness. I think it's important for us to recognize both our sameness and our unique uniquenesses to allow us to connect more deeply in intimate community. If we think of each other as we've got to all be the same, we're in trouble. Because if you all have to have my life, you're in trouble. If I have to have some of your lives, I'd be in trouble. There are some days we trade, right? I think a lot of our problem at the moment is we are really focused in on those things that are different about ourselves. And not at an interpersonal, I understand who you are and I understand your uniqueness, but in a global sense, oh, you're part of the other group. You're not on my team. That separates us as opposed to connecting us. When we focus on our differences, we sometimes forget the sameness, how we are connected, how we are the same. So let me give you a couple of examples for me. I would say that all of us want to thrive. Is that okay? Am I free to say that? We all want to feel safe and secure. Does that seem fair? We all want to love and to be loved. I'm close. We all want to be valued and respected. And none of us want to be seen as the means to an end. Huh. There is some sameness in the midst of our diversity. John 17 calls us, Jesus is praying to God the Father and saying, make us one, make the whole body of Christ one. Paul calls on his Ephesian readers to be forbearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I was reading this particular quote, for members of a local community to live in harmony one with another calls for more than human resources. A common faith unites the brothers and sisters of a church into one family. A common faith unites us. And where people are close to each other, as in marriage, for example, the potential for hurt is also greater. Where the members remain distant from each other and see each other only in their Sunday best, the potential for conflict is minimized, but there's also very little community. Oneness does not mean that unity is the same thing as uniformity. We cannot say the unity that we value is based on the fact that we can divide ourselves so many times into small enough groups that we all agree the same. Sometimes churches throughout the centuries have decided the way they were going to agree with each other was they were going to divide down to the smallest possible groups where two folks agreed with each other. If you don't believe me, just drive down some streets in the United States and see that there's First Baptist Church and Second Baptist Church and Fourth Baptist Church and Fifth Baptist Church. And that joke about going out on the island and there's one guy on the island, the first thing he does is he builds a church. And when somebody comes to rescue him, he discovers that there are two churches because he had a falling out with the people in the first church. He had to create a second church. Sometimes that feels more about who we are in the world. I think there's a sense in which we are unified by our covenant. Not our covenant with each other, but our covenant to God. Our unity, true unity, is based on our seeing ourselves as connected first to God and then to each other. Our unity comes from being God's people, the body of Christ. True unity is that we are in Christ together, that we have put on Christ, that we're the body of Christ, that we have the same mind as Christ. It feels like we spend a lot of time in our church and in our nation trying to get other parts of the body to be just like we are. It's somewhat crazy at times. The left foot says to the right foot, your big toe is on the wrong side of your foot. You're getting it out of order. You got to flip over. What's wrong with you? Do it my way. The lungs say to the intestines, breathe. Air is the most important part of life. It comes from the breath of God. Breathe. Sounds absurd, doesn't it? I wonder if God hears our quarrels with each other and sees any absurdity in those kind of conversations. We're not meant to be the same. It's purposeful because the body needs lungs and the body needs a nose and the body needs ears and the body needs eyes. The body needs taste buds. We need nerve endings at the bottom of our feet or we can't stand up with any confidence. This combination of cells that makes up our body is bizarre in its complexity and fragility. And yet, only with all the parts does it seem to work in a... I think that's the best example of who we are. Unless we can be the body of Christ, letting Christ be the brain and the heart. And then we start to see each other as part of the same body, uniquely different and gifted for a particular purpose. Then we start to appreciate our oneness in the midst of our diversity. We can only be the body of Christ by being connected to other folks who are not like us. Let me say that again. We can only actually be the body of Christ by being connected to people who are not like us. We can only show God's amazing unconditional love by crossing the barriers which are the greatest separators between us and someone else. Otherwise, it's just our own weak, piddly love. If we want to show Christ's amazing grace and love, then we got to forgive some pretty big things. I think our unity is enhanced when we see people as all being created by the same creator. God is the creator of all. Even those challenging people in our lives. God created them too. I don't know what God was thinking, but God created them too. Even those people who seem like they're from a different world than us. God created them too, and we need them for us to truly be the body of Christ. Otherwise, we get to be the foot of Christ together. This week, I was at a workshop and on reconciliation. And one of the quotes that was just dropped in the middle of either a video we were watching or books we were reading or somebody talking, they said, God is found in the space between us. So write that down and ponder that for a couple of days, and then let's have a conversation about that sentence, because that one felt profound to me. So let me share some wisdom from Scripture about community, and before this sermon series is over, I'll make sure this is in print so that you don't have to take notes at the moment. But listen, I'm not making this stuff up. James 1, chapter 1, verse 19 says, listen to each other. We do that in the church 100% of the time, correct? Proverbs, respect the privacy of those who confide. Ephesians, challenge each other with the truth. Be willing to confront when it is important. Matthew, deal with people directly. Don't complain to others. If someone complains to you about another member, help that person follow this principle. Deal with people directly. Don't complain to others. From Ephesians, strengthen each other. From Galatians, be gentle with each other. From James, do not speak ill of others in the fellowship. From Romans, do not judge each other. From James, pray for one another. From Luke, forgive one another. From James, confess one's wrongs to another. From Matthew, freely participate in the body of Christ according to our gifts and talents. Our unity comes from God. And we need diversity in order to be body. Let us pray. Gracious God, make us one through you. Allow us to see our uniqueness as your divine purpose. And then let us realize that those purposes cannot happen without connection, so that we become true, healthy, intimate, covenant community together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.